bestow upon our era the secret knowledge with which the sages of antiquity were blessed, and which was sensible only through the echoes of waves pulsating through the vastness of the great beyond, driven by the birth and death of distant stars from the earliest times of Al-Mankib and the more recently discovered but no less ancient Proxima Centauri. In this matter, there was no certainty that any man possessed of those innermost secrets might take advantage of that which was acquired and remain of sound mind. I, Alexander of Swampscott, a mere dozen miles northeast of Boston, who met the turn of the century in beardless but barely carefree youth, can lay no claim to being the bearer of much anticipated knowledge by the age of 42. Alas, and moreover, I was no longer positioned to vouchsafe the clarity of my own reason. Being a modestly respected professor with the University of Miskatonic, whose works were honored by a recognition amongst the leading minds of Greenwich, and other daring souls scorched by the rays of the merciless sun, those anchorites of Transvaal Observatory, I gained access to those books about which many dared not even dream. Nevertheless, the study of stars in the usual sense, for no little time, has failed to dominate my thoughts. I was confirmed of this position not 5 years since. My obsession arose in this same Massachusetts. One chilly autumnal day upon which I wandered absently around the port of Marblehead, open to all the winds, I managed to fall under a fierce hail that lashed out suddenly from incomprehensibly leaden clouds. Covering my unprotected head with my hands and seeing nothing further than my own nose, lost in a milky veil adorned with sharp icicles, I tripped over the high threshold of a wooden house with two floors. In desperate search of shelter from the angry elements, I chose to plead with the owners for help. In circumstances more ordinary, I seek to avoid such, indeed any, contact with the wider world. My life since childhood has been distinguished by my predilection for isolation and, I must own, some timidity. However, with the sky showing full intent to fall upon my unfortunate head, I feared no other choice was at hand. I pushed the door with my shoulder and, surprisingly, it succumbed easily. Later, and over many sleepless nights, I gave this fact no small amount of thought. To remain under that unrelenting hail may well have proved the wiser course. Bruised I may have been, but also eternally ignorant of that which not every mortal soul can bear. A table was littered with strange ciphers and diagrams, for the most part remotely resembling a distorted model of our solar system. Committing those designs to parchment, in addition to much else of unknown origin, seemed the goal of those with but primitive ideas about the subject of study, and clearly outdated in the mid-20s of the 20th century. Lost in conjecture, I approached a bookcase, again, as if someone else's will of hitherto unfathomable power induced me to reach out and take a weighty grimoire, on the rough cover of which was etched the image of a dead raven. The bird spread her bare wings, and in my mind's eye called out, opening her arms to me. Fire of unearthly origin flashed in an empty eye socket. A star exploded in a distant domain, on another side of life itself. I longed to scream, to call out and drop that damned book, but it seemed to have become melded with my being. My mouth could barely squeeze out a slurred rattle, numbed by incredulity at what was transpiring.